The Bristol Bay Fisheries Report is brought to you by the Bristol Bay Regional Seafood Development Association. Ensuring long-term growth is the world's greatest salmon fishery through investment in Bristol Bay science, infrastructure, marketing, and quality. The Bristol Bay RSDA, we're on board with you.
Bristol Bay, you had your first million fish harvest on Saturday. Total run hit 7 million. There's an exodus from the Nooshigak, a lot of boats waiting to fish the Naknek-Quijack, and we're wondering what fireworks the 4th will bring the fleet tomorrow. This is the Bristol Bay Fisheries Report for July 3rd. I'm Molly Dishner. Today, Fish and Game's Jack Erickson fills us in on trends emerging in the 2016 run.
This year, we're still looking at smaller fish, similar to last year's numbers.
And Sitka author Brendan Jones muses on fishing, writing, and Alaska life.
Yeah, much as I love fishing, I don't like breaking my back, and I'm getting old, and I'd much rather sit at a desk and write, but yeah, there will be more books.
Those stories and more after a run through the numbers. Grab a pencil. The total run to Bristol Bay through Saturday, 7 million fish. Saturday's catch, 1 million, season total, almost 5 million harvested. Total escapement from all rivers counting, 275,000 fish Saturday, season total, 1.8 million. Saturday's catch and escapement by district, Ugashik catch, 120,000, season total, 621,000. Ugashik escapement, 12,000, season total, 106,000. Igigik's Saturday catch was 335,000, highest yet, total 1.5 million this season. Igigik River escapement, 27,000, season total, 578,000. In the Naknek-Quijack District, 264,000 fish harvested Saturday, season total, 522,000. The Naknek River count on Saturday was 73,000, season total, 369,000. The Quijack River count, 105,540, season total, 134,412. For the Nooshigak District, 316,000 fish caught Saturday, bringing the season total to 2.2 million. At the Nooshigak Sonar, 2,300 kings counted Saturday, season total, 99,000. 19,000 reds counted there, season total, 286,000. The Wood River Tower had its highest count yet, 36,000, season total, 336,000. Igushik, 894 reds counted yesterday, season total, 18,000. Togiak, 7,700 fish caught Saturday. Season total, 49,000. Registrations as of this morning. Ugashik, 251 permits on 192 boats, up 20 more permits after the 48-hour wait. Igigik, 380 permits on 300 boats, no changes on the horizon. Naknek-Quijack, 485 permits on 404 boats, and 98 more permits and 74 more boats waiting in the wings. Nooshigak, 425 permits on 324 boats, and that's down quite a bit from yesterday and the day before. Togiak holding steady, 39 permits, 39 boats. Grand total, 1,580 permits on 1,259 boats today. After the wait, that goes to 1,698 permits on 1,351 boats. That's the daily run summary for Bristol Bay. Looking now to the Port Muller test fishery, we have stock composition. That's the estimate of how many fish are headed to each river based on the Port Muller catch on June 29th and 30th. Igigik 29.9%, Ugashik 18.2%, Quijack 16.2%, Wood 13.1%, Igushik 5.3%, North Peninsula 4.6%, Naknek 1.5%, Nooshigak 0.5%, Togiak and Kuskokwim 0%. Phew, those are the numbers. Back in a moment.
Hi, Bob King here for the Bristol Bay Regional Seafood Development Association. Think chilling your fish is too expensive? New chilling systems on the market offer good value at competitive prices, and they're geared towards smaller boats. They mean a better price and pay themselves off in a few years. Of course, you have questions, and help is available. Call 439-3566. Talk about what works for you. Salmon's future is chilling. For the Bristol Bay RSDA, I'm Bob King. Good luck and good fishing.
Thank you.
As the run takes shape, fisheries managers are seeing some trends emerge. Today, Fish and Game's Jack Erickson joins and takes a couple minutes to share what he's watching this summer in Bristol Bay, starting with fish sizes.
This year, we're still looking at smaller fish, similar to last year's numbers. What we are seeing, you know, it's very early in the season. The fish that were 3 years in the saltwater in the ocean, what we call three ocean fish, they're a little bit smaller than last year, but the ones that have been out 2 years in the ocean, they seem to be a little bit bigger. And on average right now, from our very initial catches, it's averaging about the same as last year for size. You know, we're just starting to get our reports in from our towers where we're collecting them, as well as our sonar site on the Nooshigak and a commercial catch, so it's a little early to tell. The good things, though, I guess, compared to last year is last year this was widespread, the small fish across the region. We saw it in Kenai, in Cook Inlet. We saw it in Prince William Sound. Well, this year in Prince William Sound, we saw fish originally coming in a little bit smaller, but since the beginning of the season, the fish have gotten larger. I think we put on about an average of a half a pound. We've seen an increase in the average size of sockeye. So that's good news to see there out in Prince William Sound, Copper River. This year, from very initial sample sizes that we're getting out of the Kasilov section of Cook Inlet, sockeye are probably about a half a pound larger. So in those two areas, we're seeing some improvement, and hopefully we'll see that larger size show up here in Bristol Bay as well. But we're watching that very carefully across all stocks, across all districts.
That makes sense. Sounds good. Distribution and timing to the different districts, is that about what you were forecasting, expecting to see this year, or have any anomalies stood out so far?
It's a little too early to be talking about early, late size and how we're comparing to our initial forecast. We know every year that we've got a variety of stocks. Fishermen are very aware of that. Different districts coming in with different run timing. Some will be a little bit early, some will be a little bit late. You know, a day or two can mean the world of a difference in our projections. The good news is here in the last 48 hours, we're fishing all the districts. We're seeing fish, both in terms of escapement. Our catches are up. The 2nd of July marks the first day we had a million fish catch. So the last 2 days, catches are up, and escapements are showing up to all of our tower projects and assessment projects within the bay. So the next 3-4 days, that'll be telling times for us. You know, are these escapements and catches going to be sustained? Everything right now is looking good. Port Moeller test fishery is showing fish as an index of what's coming in. We're just watching on a daily basis, and it's good to see them come back.
Definitely, and we're hoping that'll continue as well. Aside from that day-to-day management, watching the numbers every day, what projects are you working on in the bay this summer?
You know, those are our core assessment projects. When you think about fish and game is what we do. We assess the run in terms of the escapement with our towers. That's our bread and butter. Also, sampling the commercial catch. That's another project we always run. We have in-river test fisheries on the Ugashik, the Igigig, and the Kwejak section that are ahead of our tower counts to give us an idea of what's going to make it to our towers. And those are really bread and butter. And then you look at our Port Moeller test fishery that everybody's always anxious to see what's coming in at Port Moeller ahead of the fishery and the genetics. So those are running. Another project we have that is unique is on the Nooshigak with our mark recapture project for Chinook salmon. It's our third year of estimating the abundance of Chinook salmon in the Nooshigak to see if our sonar estimate is truly measuring abundance or how good of an index it is for measuring the abundance of the king salmon, the Chinooks. That's the one project that isn't a long-term project that we do every year as bread and butter management, day-to-day management.
Anything else interesting about the run that you're seeing that you want to add?
We're always plus or minus a day, it seems like, and wanting to know what the next day is going to happen. So things are changing very quickly. Everything is, as fishermen know, one day it can be small, the next day it can be just taken off, and we're on that upswing here. The season here is when we'll hit our 2 billionth fish harvested out of Bristol Bay, which is pretty amazing when you think of the sustainability and the long-term productivity of Bristol Bay salmon.
All right. Thanks so much for your time this morning, Jack.
No problem.
That was Fish and Game's Jack Erickson. Bristol Bay Fisheries Report, back in a moment.
Support comes from Crowley. Fueling Alaska for more than 60 years, Crowley supports local fisheries onshore and off with a full range of commercial marine fuel products and Bristol Bay floater fueling services. More information at crowleyfuels.com.
This Sunday afternoon, we continue our series looking at fishing books. Sitka's Brendan Jones released his debut novel this spring. The Alaskan Laundry tells a tale that many here are familiar with. Moving to Alaska, a first fishing season as a greenhorn, falling in love with a harsh land. No, The Alaskan Laundry does not feature a laundromat. Author Brendan Jones says the title came from a one-off conversation with a pickled old fisherman who shared his own theory on Alaska.
State is very much like a laundry where a lot of folks come in and they think they can get themselves clean. It's like on one continuous wash cycle. A lot of people depend on the state to kind of clean away their original sins or their past and have high expectations. And of course, it doesn't generally work out, not to mention, of course, that there have been people in the state for thousands of years, so there's that too.
The book is a coming-of-age story about a young woman who moves from an East Coast city to a fictional Alaska island town and works her way up the fishing ladder, hatchery, processor, crewman. But it's also amusing on Alaska, growing up, fishing, life, through the lens of each character. Tucked into the first half is a paragraph that Jones says is one of his favorite passages. When she thought about the East Coast, she thought it as cities revolving around the sun of New York. Philadelphia like Mercury, Washington like Mars, Boston, Saturn. Here on this island, it was as if her planet had slipped its ellipse and she was floating around some gentler, more mysterious sun. She couldn't see it yet, but she could already feel it. The few times when she stopped fighting and allowed herself to be guided by this new force. It was somewhere in those woods, hidden beneath the ice fields, deep in the river valleys. Jones says those moments when writing is more lyricism than the heavy lifting of narrative is one of the things he loves about the process.
I'm always drawn to the more poetic sections. You know, I have this belief where if you're good enough at getting the actions of your characters and moving them around in effective ways, then you get rewarded by these kind of flights of writing, and they just kind of drop into your lap.
The book was written over several years in different places, mostly Sitka in California. Jones says from time to time he'd go fishing and then come home to rewrite a section. It developed in bits and pieces here and there. Tara's story was not necessarily the one Jones set out to tell.
There was never really any intention, especially at the outset, to write that story. It just evolved over the course of many different drafts. The story started 10 years ago as just a bunch of different characters, 10 different characters, and I ended up writing about 10,000 words for each of them and started kind of bumping them up against each other. And one by one, like the Thunderdome or something, they ended up falling by the wayside, and I was left with four characters, and then two, it was a love story between Tara and a Cuban guy who comes to Alaska, and then the last iteration, once Houghton bought it, ended up just being kind of this hero's journey of Tara going up to Alaska.
It is, however, a story that shares some commonalities with Jones's life. He moved to Alaska from Philadelphia at age 19. He's moved around a bit in the years since then, but now, just like his protagonist, he calls a tugboat anchored near a rocky Alaska island home. He's fished in a handful of fisheries, though not all the same ones as Tara. He's taken the book from those eastern cities, New York, Boston, D.C., Philly, to Alaska towns like Anchorage, Homer, Palmer, Juneau, and stops at other places between.
I end up reading very different sections for a place like Homer or Sitka than I do for, say, Los Angeles, where people don't really read anyways. You have to read very slowly and figure out a very simple passage to share with them. But, you know, in Alaska, people are so familiar with the rudiments of fishing that you can just dive right into it. So I pick out certain sections that I think will resonate and don't spend a whole lot of time explaining the industry or explaining what it's like to come to Alaska as a young person, because so many people have already had those experiences, already kind of seeded in people.
In Alaska, Jones says he connects with people over their own stories of learning to fish, coming to Alaska.
One of the great pleasures of writing is it's such a solitary venture, but it's a story, and so you get to share it. I've met all sorts of people, and it's been fascinating to see how the story has hit them and resonated with them. And I really tried to write it in such a way that people could connect their own dots, and I didn't want to force truths or anything down people's throats. So I think people brought their own stories to the novel and then took a lot out of it.
Up next, Jones says he's about halfway through another book, and he'll keep writing. The work less backbreaking than fishing, he says. Couple messages for the fleet today. One going out to Hunter Parrott, crewing on the fishing vessel Not to Scale, who turned 18 yesterday. Happy birthday from Mom and Dad and everybody in Damascus, Oregon. Have fun in your paradise. We miss you and love you. Be safe and good luck to the crew and skipper. And Hunter, your mom requested one of your favorite songs to play after the show, so stay tuned. If you have a message for a fisherman or other feedback, song requests, story ideas, please get in touch. Call us at 842-2200 or drop a line, fish@kdlg.org, dave@kdlg.org, or molly@kdlg.org. In other fish news, we've been seeing some commercial fishing violations crop up in the trooper dispatches lately. Couple instances of fishing in closed waters in Igigik last month, some buoys need better marking, vessels need identification, and crew members need licenses. A reminder, you can double-check those and other regs in state statutes. And thousands of fish washing up dead in Canada's Yamaska River, from minnows to larger fish. The exact cause is not officially known, but some say a nearby tailings pond that emptied recently into the river could be a factor. In sports news, your daily dose of baseball scores. Mets beat the Cubs, Nationals beat the Reds, Phillies took Royals, White Sox beat Astros, and as of early this afternoon, Mariners are playing a very close game against the Braves. In Brazil, 100-year-old João Havelange, the Brazilian who ran FIFA for 2 decades, is being treated for pneumonia in a Rio de Janeiro hospital. He's the man credited for making soccer a global game. July isn't just fishing and baseball season, it's Tour de France time. Mark Cavendish won the first stage, which was 188 kilometers. Last year's winner, a Brit named Chris Froome, finished that stage in 25th place. That's just about it tonight. The marine weather forecast for Bristol Bay. Tonight, west wind 15 knots, diminishing to 10 after midnight, seas at 3 feet. Tomorrow, west wind 10 knots, seas at 2 feet. And from Port Hyden to Cape Saratref, tonight, variable wind at 10 knots, seas at 2 feet. Tomorrow, west wind at 15 knots, seas at 3 feet. Catch our replays at 6:30, 10, and 2, and find our shows archived online. I'm Molly Dishner. Keep in touch. We'll see you back here for the Bristol Bay Fisheries Report.
The Bristol Bay Fisheries Report was made possible in part by the Bristol Bay Fisheries Association, advocating for fishermen. More information at bristolbayfishermen.org.
Well, way down yonder on the Chattahoochee, it gets hotter than a hoochie-coochie. We laid rubber on the Georgia asphalt. We got a little crazy, but we never got caught. Down by the river on a Friday night, pyramid of cans in the pale moonlight. Talking about cars and dreaming about women. Never had a plan, just a living for the minute. Yeah, way down yonder on the Chattahoochee, never knew how much that muddy water meant to me. But I learned how to swim and I learned who I was. A lot about living and a little about love. Well, we fogged up the windows in my old Chevy. I was willing, but she wasn't ready. So I settled for a burger and a grape snow cone. I dropped her off early, but I didn't go home. Down by the river on a Friday night, pyramid of cans in the pale moonlight. Talking about cars and dreaming about women. Never had a plan, just a living for the minute. Yeah, went down yonder on the Chattahoochee. Never knew how much that muddy water meant to me. But I learned how to swim and I learned who I was. A lot about living and a little about love. Yeah. She never knew how much that muddy water meant to me. But I learned how to swim and I learned who I was. A lot about living and a little about love. A lot about living and a little.